What up, though, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Daily Upside. I'm your host, Keenan Rivals, bringing you the most up-to-date sports cards news every day. Feeling a bit under weather today, but, you know, we're still going to push through it. We got a few things to talk about here. Before we get started with today's episode, I do want to remind everybody that I host a daily newsletter. If you haven't signed up, definitely check it out. It's free if you just want some of the updates. There's also a paid version that's cheaper than a cup of coffee per week. That's going to give you access to my Discord. That's going to give you my sports cards pick of the week, which drops today, by the way. So definitely head over to highupsideshow.com and sign up. Join the Upside Squad. Don't be scared, man. We're having a lot of fun over there. And I think the sports cards market for modern cards, a lot of the cards you guys are holding, a lot of the cards you're looking at right now, I think they're going to start picking up pretty soon. So yeah, now was the best time to kind of get in my opinion. As always, this information is just my thoughts, how my brain works. Do your own research. Don't take what I say, you know, for anything. This is just, you know, some of the things that I look at and how my mind processes it. Moving into some sports cards news, The Athletic, you know, we rock with them. They came out with a little article talking about, you know, Zion and Ja Morant. Is Zion the number one pick still if you're redoing the draft? So before we kind of get into this, I want to know what you guys think. Do you think Zion, would you pick him number one? Would you pick Ja Morant? You know, who do you have, you know, being a superstar 10 years from now? Both of those players have been playing well. I'm more of a Ja Morant fan. I like Zion. I like what he's doing. I'm more of a Ja guy. If I'm playing 2K, I'm picking Ja. So let's see what The Athletic thought. And they kind of redid the top 20. And for those of you who are watching on YouTube, as you can see, they do still have Zion going number one. In fact, they have the first few picks being exactly how they were. Like, you know, I guess the GMs there, they did a really good job drafting. So they have Zion going number one, Ja Morant going number two. They still have RJ Barrett at three. They still have DeAndre Hunter at four. So the first four picks are still the same. And then that's when it kind of changes. At five, they had Keldon Johnson. At six, they had Cameron Johnson, which was kind of surprising to me. And from there, the draft is just nothing's the same anymore. Some of the surprising picks I saw was Tyler Hero going at number nine. I felt like if they would have made this post last year, we would have seen Tyler Hero like going to the Hawks. He would have been in that top four. They had Nikhil Alexander Walker going ahead of Kobe White, which I disagree with strongly, but they had him going number 10th and they had Kobe White 11th. And just sliding down, Darius Garland, Talen Horton-Tucker, Cam Reddish. They had Talen Horton-Tucker going above Cam Reddish. I like THT, but I'm still big on Cam Reddish. I still have hope. I'm crossing my fingers. And just a lot of, you know, kind of eyeball picks. Terrence Davis, you know, went 16. Rui Hachimura was going 17. Still going to Washington, but, you know, just with a different pick. And some of the other surprising factors where they had, like, Jared Culver, Jackson Hayes, Sekou Doumbouya, they didn't even have those guys like in the top like 23 picks or 20 picks. They kind of had them going late in the first round. And most of those guys are lottery picks. Jared Culver was a lottery pick. Jackson Hayes is a lottery pick. Romeo Langford was a lottery pick. And then Sekou Doumbouya just outside of the lottery. So this goes to show you, people talk about modern cards, how risky it is. And, you know, these drafts do have a lot of players being drafted at high levels and they don't pan out. I was somebody who was like, really hoping for Romeo Langford to get a chance in Boston and to do well. And that's obviously just not going to happen. So, you know, always tread carefully, you know, read these type of articles, kind of see, you know, what they have a feel for. I think this is just the best way to invest, is to kind of read around, see what the overall sentiment is, you know, actually watch basketball and just be able to look at guys and kind of see if they're going to be able to pan out. You know, DeAndre Hunter, Keldon Johnson, those guys, you know, Keldon Johnson was a late pick. You know, I didn't do any research on Keldon Johnson and, you know, he did his thing. So definitely check this out if you want to read more about it. If you're signed up for The Athletic, I'll leave the link in the description as always. Moving on, Bleacher Report also had a buying or selling latest NBA trade rumors. A few of you have reached out to me like, bro, we don't care about the NBA rumors or news. And I get that you're here for sports cards, but I'm just trying to show you guys what my routine is and what's important to me. A lot of people don't care about trade rumors, but a lot of people also missed out on Blake Griffin. And to me, that was just kind of an obvious play. You know, Blake Griffin was going to go to a contender. We see it happen every year. So it's like, you know, with the trade deadline coming up, you know, who's moving where? You know, these are things that we need to know. And I already read this article, so it wasn't too informative, but there was one thing that I saw that I figured I would share. So as always, Lonzo Ball is kind of on the trading cusp. Is he going to stay with the Pelicans? Is he their point guard? Do they have somebody else? I would like to see Lonzo get traded. I feel like if he can go to a contender and be in a better system, he'd just be a much better player. Like if Lonzo was in Golden State, I feel like I would like him so much more. But I mean, I just really haven't paid attention to Lonzo too much or Pelicans basketball, to be honest. I don't know why. Last year I was all in on the Pelicans. This year I just haven't really been rocking with them. The Cavaliers might be looking to move Larry Nance Jr., which we don't care. There also might be significant interest in PJ Tucker, which we also don't care about. Dallas interested in Kevin Love. That does interest me a little bit. I'm not too sold on it, though, in terms of it actually happening. We always hear this Kevin Love, you know, is going to get moved news. And who, you know, is anybody really willing to pay him? You know, are the Mavericks going to move Porzingis or, you know, what's going to be happening with that? But this was the one that got me interested, and that was Golden State interested in Victor Oladipo. Again, anybody, if anybody's going to Golden State, I'm looking at their cards. We've seen what Kelly Oubre Jr. did when he got traded. If Victor Oladipo was to go to Golden State, his cards would surge, in my opinion. That 2014 draft class was kind of subpar. A lot of those cards are not graded. They're kind of super rare. So, yeah, I would be into Victor Oladipo's cards. The risky thing about this is that you don't know if he's actually going to get traded. You know, the last thing you want to do is get a bag of, you know, Victor Oladipo, who's just so focused on going to Miami. You know, I don't want Victor Oladipo's cards if he's in Miami Heat. You know, if he's in a Miami Heat jersey, I'll pass on those. But if he's going to Golden State, it's worth the gamble. So, you know, take this with a grain of salt again. Don't go buy a bunch of Victor Oladipo cards because, you know, this one little article. But it's something to think about. What Bleacher Report thinks is they kind of do a buy or sale. You know, they buy if the rumor is real to them. They sell it if it's not. And what they kind of concluded was they buy the fact that the Golden State Warriors are interested, but they're not selling the fact that, you know, that deal is going to get done. So, again, take it with a grain of salt. Moving on to NBA Top Shot. We're still rocking with The Athletic, but they kind of came out with this article about a week ago talking about Top Shot and how it's no joke. I'm not really sure if I shared this with you guys, but I don't remember this graphic, so I'm assuming that I didn't. So I thought I would share it, you know, just in case. And what they're saying is the typical Top Shot news. I mean, the whole, like, Top Shot being in the press, being in the media thing isn't that much of a surprise anymore. The whole NBA players buying Top Shot just isn't a surprise anymore. Bismack Biyombo bought his moment for $69. They have a piece here about Jack Settleman, who bought a moment for $400, and he ended up selling it for $32,000, you know, making a profit of 80,000%. So, you know, that's the kind of news that has been within the Top Shot realm. You know, that's why you see a lot of people, you know, running towards Top Shot and paying big dollars because they want that Jack Settlement type of payday. I've also posted some things where I've made, you know, insane percentages on cards or moments, I should say. And, you know, I don't know if those times are still here anymore. You know, can you make money with Top Shot 100%? I don't know if the whole 80,000% thing is going to be something that everybody gets to experience, though. So a lot of people early on have been in early. They've made their money. And obviously Top Shot's going to slow down. It's going to become similar to cards. There's still going to be some intense gains. There's still going to be some moments to 2-3x. There's still going to be some moments to do very, very well as the NFT space grows. But, you know, the 80,000x, those kind of reports are misleading, in my opinion. But that being said, you know, at The Athletic, they're kind of writing this article and they're wondering, like, hey, is Top Shot going to be a crucial part of the future? You know, we kind of seen Top Shot release the stars for the Rising Stars Challenge. You know, will they be, you know, doing NBA All-Star Challenges or announcements? You know, will the MVPs or the awards be announced, you know, with Top Shot in mind? So those are the kind of things that this article is bringing up. I'll link this down below. For those of you who do know, if you're into Top Shot, you know I do have a newsletter as well. I actually haven't released one in quite some time because every time I write a newsletter, the market changes. I'll write a newsletter and say, hey, I like this guy at this price, and then the price might plummet or the price might surge. So I'm starting to understand that Top Shot's a little too volatile to treat it how I treat sports cards. You kind of have to write these articles same day. So, you know, rethinking that approach. But I did put out a newsletter about, you know, what I liked about Top Shot, at least at the time, you know, and I think it's still pretty valid. You know, right now what I'm looking at essentially is rookie moments. You know, I think these are going to be pretty big. You know, the badges are coming. Roham's kind of been open about that. I kind of shared, you know, a recent sell of mine on my Instagram where I, you know, kind of, you know, 2x my money to a certain degree. So, you know, I'm big on these. I sold this Darius Garland moment, for example, at 515. And now it's back down to 345. So the prices have kind of softened up. And, you know, I think there's some opportunity within some of these moments. So if you haven't signed up for the Top Shot newsletter, definitely go ahead and do so. Similar to my sports cards newsletters, there's a free and there's a premium version. And I'll be kind of just sharing you guys like my plays, my ideas, my thoughts on the platform and who I'm looking at to potentially make some money, but also, you know, kind of collect to a certain extent. I like these moments a lot. I'm down with the whole NFT movement. And I think there's some real long-term value here. You know, I don't know if this is something that I'm only interested in buying and flipping. Some of these I might be interested in holding for quite some time. It's not too often that you get to be a part of something in its initiation or its inauguration. You know, I wasn't there for 1986 Fleer. So I definitely want to make sure that I'm here and I'm present for Series 1 Top Shot. All right, time for some sports cards news. So you guys know I kind of go over the market here. Yesterday, we saw a 2014-2015 Prism Orange die cut of Zach LaVine BGS 9.5, so for $355. I'm a big Zach LaVine fan. I thought this was a pretty good price. I think people are like, I know PSA 10 is where it's at. I'm kind of moving towards PSA 10 too. Like, hey, a fractional investing is going to be buying PSA. If this is going to be like the industry, you know, kind of leader, then I get it. But it's just hard to see some of these BGS prices go for so low as when I started collecting, like BGS was the thing. You got the Beckett magazine and you grade it with BGS. Like PSA was like for vintage or baseball, for basketball, the cool kids, you grade it with BGS. You bought the Beckett magazine. And you know, yeah, this one for $355. And the reason I'm like, man, this is so cheap is because last month we saw a raw Zach LaVine orange, same card, so for $206. Now, if you kind of zoom in on this one, it does look pretty good, you know, so I'm sure some people looked at the corners. We see like a little ding there. But yeah, for a raw card to go for $200 and then like a gem mint card to go for $355, I just feel like that doesn't make sense. You know, you buy this card at $206 raw, you pay $50 to grade it, now you're in it at $250. For $100 more, you could have got a guaranteed 9.5. These are the kind of things that make me think BGS is just underrated. I'll continue to monitor all these grading companies and see how it plays out. I thought about doing a video where I pick up like a graded card from each company and just kind of do an in-depth comparison. I want to see like what HGA is doing. I want to see what CSG or CGS or I want to see what they're doing and how their cases look and feel. I think that's important as well. Right now, we're buying PSA because we're being told to buy PSA, or we're buying PSA because it's easy to sell PSA. I don't know if we actually love PSA. I don't love PSA. I prefer, you know, Beckett's case, but I digress. That's just my opinion. Let me know what you guys think about the whole raw versus BGS thing. I don't know. I feel like BGS and sending it to PSA could be a play too. I feel like people are going to be doing that a lot more, especially with these high grade prices. I think those are the kind of things I think about. Grading is like so much money now. It's almost risky to buy a raw card. It's like, I'm gonna buy this BGS 9.5 and then I'll send it into PSA. I think that's where we're gonna go. But anyway, moving on, another 2014-15 Zach LaVine Prism Silver, this time a PSA 10, so for $3,299. So people are still big on Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's moving up. Earlier in the season, he was trade bait. Now he's like one of the top scorers. If you've been following this channel for quite some time, you know I'm a Zach LaVine fan. If you go to my Twitter, Zach LaVine has always been the banner here. I've always rocked with Zach, and I've called him Devin Booker of the East. That's been my statement since the beginning of the year, and we're starting to see that play out. Unfortunately, I didn't buy a lot of Zach LaVine cards. I never imagined that Zach LaVine would be these price points, but for those of you who did get in, for those of you who did see those articles and those analysis and you took advantage of them, shout out to you, because you definitely won, because Zach is selling pretty well right now. Moving forward, speaking of a card that didn't sell too well yesterday, this really shocked me. Ben Simmons 2016-17 Select Courtside Silver sold yesterday, BGS 9.5, for $610. I don't know why this went so low. Ben Simmons was definitely hot for a while. You know, the COVID may have, you know, pushed his prices down. He's probably going to be in quarantine for a little bit. I think this was a steal. I think if you can get courtside silver cards of Ben Simmons for $600, then that's just a great deal. You know, I feel like courtside silver is just being slept on right now. I feel like Ben Simmons was really showing his offensive abilities in the last month or so. I feel like he's being slept on right now. And I think if the Sixers are going to continue to dominate, Ben Simmons is going to be a big part of that. And whoever picked this card up is probably going to be able to flip it. So look out for those courtside silvers, especially those early years. Anything outside of 2017, it's just dirt cheap, in my opinion. Select outside of 2017 is dirt. You know, 2017, 2018, 2019 select, expensive. 2016, 15, 14, dirt cheap. So yeah, really like this pickup here. Another card we mentioned yesterday, Kevin Durant cards have been on fire. Somebody told me that Gary Vee, you know, mentioned Kevin Durant. I was in a clubhouse last night pretty late, and they were like, I'm not buying Kevin Durant. This is crazy. That's stupid. He's already ran up. Kevin Durant definitely has moved up in price point. You know, he's up 2-3x for most of his cards. My thing with Kevin Durant is that comparatively, he's pretty cheap. Compared to Stephen Curry, he's pretty cheap. So that's kind of what I'm going off of. So somebody said that, you know, me buying Kevin Durant was stupid. You know, I'm not looking for super risky investments that I can 10x on right now. I like Kevin Durant. He's a great player. I'm actually not a Kevin Durant fan, but he's a great player. Comparatively, I think that he ranks up there with LeBron and Stephen Curry in terms of offense and somewhat impact. So when I see his price is half the price or sometimes more than half the price of Stephen Curry's, that makes sense to me as an investor. You know, that's all I'm looking at it from. Safe investment, great guy, great offensive talent, already has the accolades. He just needs to go define himself. And I think he'll be able to do that this year. So yeah, his 2007 8 Fleer 86 retro, for those of you who aren't looking on YouTube, that's the one that looks like Michael Jordan rookie. PSA 10 sold for $6,200. So super, super huge card there. I mean, that's a lot of money for this card. And, you know, I'm not surprised. If you have been listening to this channel for quite some time, I talked about LeBron James's Fleer card a little while back. And I mentioned, like, people might start buying these Fleer rookies just because of the association with Jordan. If you're new to the hobby, if you see a Jordan Fleer rookie going for whatever the heck price it goes for, you might go back and say, ooh, I can get a LeBron James Fleer rookie for super cheap. You know, these are the kind of things that I think about. You know, association in this space is big. Everybody who's in this space isn't listening to this podcast. Everybody who's in this space isn't spending hours at night like we do looking at sports cards. They see a Jordan Fleer, they buy a LeBron Fleer, they got the LeBron card. No different than Kevin Durant, no different than Kobe Bryant. So think about association. Association is huge. You know, think about when you got into this hobby, and think about if you left and you came back, you're probably going to go with, you know, something that you knew before. That's why I was so big on contenders. I'm like, man, Tom Brady contenders in football is huge. People are going to associate that with basketball. People who are coming from football to basketball are going to say, ooh, Luka contenders, super cheap compared to Tom Brady's. It just makes sense. So if you look at this chart on Card Ladder, we can see that this association has been playing out for this card. It has a pop of 114. About 3 months ago, it was $1,350. I remember seeing these all day for that price point. And yeah, it's just moved up about 350% for a profit of like $4,850 based on this last sale. So that's super, super huge for Kevin Durant. People who are talking about don't buy Kevin Durant, I agree. I'm not really sure if I'm buying this Fleer rookie at $6,000. I don't believe that that's a worthy investment. I think it's a fantastic card. I think it will hold its value to a certain degree. But as an investor, I'm not really sure what my profits look like on that investment. That's why you kind of been seeing me buy these 2007, 2008, you know, Topps Black Border rookies, because they're super cheap, $495. PSA 8, great deal in my opinion. A lot of people are like, that's too much money. That was $200 2 months ago. I understand that. But again, comparatively, you know, we have to look at cards comparatively. James Harden's 2009, 2010 Topps rookie PSA 8 just sold for $760. If James Harden's going for $760, in my opinion, Kevin Durant being at $400 for the same card, comparatively, Kevin Durant's a really good buy. So that's why I'm buying these up. That's why I've been buying them for quite some time. So has everybody in the Discord. We're probably the ones pushing the price up because we understand, like, comparatively, this just makes sense. I'm going to drop a hoodie that says comparatively with the High Upside Show logo. Let me know if you guys want that. So yeah, that's it for this one, guys. Wanted to go over some of these cards. Look at cards, kind of associate them with other cards. I mean, this is how we have to start thinking. We have to understand how people getting into the space are going to think. If somebody jumps into the space and they see a James Harden Topps rookie going for 760, they're probably going to buy the Kevin Durant if it's under that. At least I know I would. So yeah, if you haven't already, shoot me a follow on Twitter. I definitely appreciate it. Same thing on Instagram. You can find me at High Upside Show. I'm about to post a question of the day. So I guess I want you guys to go in and chime in on that. As always, I do have the newsletter. Check that out as well. We're dropping the sports cards pick of the week tonight. Tonight's pick of the week is going to come out a little bit late, probably after Upside Auctions. So probably around 8 o'clock. So a little bit late, but it's definitely going to be coming out. So yeah, check that out as well. I'll leave the link for the sports cards pick of the week in the description. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to check me out on Apple Podcasts and shoot me a review. That's it for this one, guys. I'll catch you in the next one. Happy investing.